Rolling. Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1304, May 8, 2024. 90 degrees on this day in 1874. 28 degrees on this day in 1960. Kids will be swimming any day, you know that. And if you own a lake home or you have the old swimming hole out back with the rope swing with the tire on the end of it, you got to get a hold of my friends at Aquaside. They've been keeping swimming beaches and swimming areas free of weeds and algae for more than 60 years with products made right in White Bear Lake. The products are easy to use, they work quickly, and they're registered with the EPA and DNR. They're safe. Don't let weeds overtake your lake or pond this summer. Call Aquaside. Describe exactly what you think the problem is, what you're looking at. They'll help you identify the problem, and your place is going to look great all summer long. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Hail the flashlight, King.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Chris.
Hi, Joe.
Have all your Nicole Mitchell stuff ready, but I'm going to do something first. But I want you to be ready.
I'm ready.
So you don't have to say, give me a minute. That's the voice of a gal named Cindy, who used to call Sports Talk years ago. She was just an ardent Timberwolves fan. Knew more about the Timberwolves than anyone, maybe even Patrick. And I think we've lost her. I hope I'm not prematurely saying that, but it's too bad she's not around, if she's not around.
Because she would also email, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she was just a great gal who she was a nurse, I think, by trade.
Oh.
And she'd go into room by room by room at making her rounds and then turn on the game in each room to make sure she didn't miss anything. Right. That's true. She told us that. But before we get to Nicole Mitchell... You know, when you got up today and you went outside, did you say to yourself, what a lovely day?
I did, actually.
I did, too. Yes. I go out and had my morning office, and I thought, this is just gorgeous. What a gorgeous spring day. Mm-hmm. And then I began putting material together for this award-winning podcast. Mm-hmm. Well, second place, pretty
much. What award did we win?
Well, we're number one in Anguilla.
There you go.
Enough for me.
Yeah. And I just thought it's just so lovely, the greens and the blues, and then I began to assemble, and then every day I checked the Drudge Report. All the Drudge Report is a bulletin board on which stories are tacked from around the world. And I've never done this before, but here's what we're dealing with today.
Lay it on. I can take it.
Humans on bird flu watch.
Oh.
All right. Trump's private life exposed in trial. Says he does not share bed with Melania. All right. Survey. 38% have never felt more inspired at work than they do now. Shock.
Uninspired. Uninspired. Joe, not inspired.
What did I say?
Oh. You said it inspired.
Uninspired.
Because I am inspired.
I know you are. Thank you. Shock claim. Fish are shrinking.
Uh-oh.
All right. World's record-breaking temperature streak continues.
Doom.
West Virginia named most obese state.
West Virginia.
Gloom. Mm-hmm. Nearly a third of Americans in constant pain.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Oh. We got the heating pad on right now.
Musk says he listens to podcasts about the fall of civilization to get to sleep. RFK Jr. says worm ate part of his brain and then died inside his head.
Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm.
I got that in the news.
Oh, yeah. Rifle-armed robot dogs now being tested by Marine special operators.
Got that in the news, too.
Good. I want you to. Court open to Satanic Temple's challenge to Boston prayer denial.
Mm.
And that's...
What?
Yeah. Court open to Satanic Temple's challenge to Boston prayer denial.
Oh, wow.
And then you think, but wait a minute, when I got up and I looked outside, and I went outside.
Birds were chirping.
And they, you know what? To top it off, the papers were even there.
Wow.
Did you get a new paper delivered?
No, but I was talking to him the other day, and I said, well, can't you reverse the route once in a while? Have us be first. Somebody's getting the papers at 8 o'clock. Oh. He goes, yes, they are. I said, well, reverse it once in a while.
First shall be last, and last shall be first.
That's what we've been operating on.
Could you, I know you're a part-time psychiatrist. I'm wondering if you could help me out here, Sue.
Sure.
How does a guy deal with the dichotomy of a beautiful day and then the incredibly depressing headlines? How do you make, I can't ignore the news. I wish I could. How do I make those two worlds work together? What do you do?
Oh, that's the, we need the wisdom of Solomon for that. I have no answer. I guess you treat it the way we do, with somewhat a glint of skepticism. Okay. For example, I don't believe fish are shrinking, and if they are, I don't give a bleep.
They probably have evolved. They've got bigger and shrunk over billions of
years. World's record breaking temperature streak continues. I don't buy it. The hottest temperature ever recorded in the United States, you'd think it would be recent. It was in, 1904 or something. That was the other day I noted that. Nearly a third of Americans in constant pain. I don't buy it.
Well, I do.
Well, if they are, I mean,
constant, I mean,
I don't care that Trump doesn't sleep in the same bed as Melania.
Yeah, anybody that's been married, as long as we have, that's...
He must snore a lot.
And, RFK's got a worm in his brain. what am I supposed to do? I'm sorry, pal. That's life.
So, well, basically, you're saying pick and choose your battles.
Well, exactly. And West Virginia, named most obese state. Well, the entire country has an obesity problem. The answers are very clear on how to avoid that, so that isn't a big deal. Humans on bird flu watch. I'm going to choose to be worried about that one because I think bad things happen to you if you get the bird flu. Your eyes start bleeding and you get worms in your brain.
Yeah, but how often are you going to think about that during the day?
Not a lot.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Yeah, and we don't think of the bird flu as striking city areas.
No.
High populated areas.
And it says 38% have never felt more uninspired at work. Well, I feel inspired at work, so that one doesn't bother me.
Let's go.
Yeah, more so than I've ever been.
Yeah, actually, that doesn't bother me.
I would say I'm inspired at the airport.
And I'm also going to... Okay, so there's two things on here. I guess I'm answering your question, Kenny. Yes, you must pick and choose what you're going to allow to bother you. Okay, I'm going to be bothered by I have to be on a bird flu watch. Used to have a song called Bird Flu Coming.
I was told we can't play that anymore.
Oh.
Because it's a Johnny Cash song.
All right. And then I am choosing to be worried about rifle-armed robot dogs being tested by the Marines.
That sounds like
that frightens me.
That one's scary.
That's
on the radar screen.
It is. John should get the horn for scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoops.
Joe, I saved something, a tweet from yesterday from a site called The Daily Stoic.
Okay.
And it's five habits that are killing your productivity. And I wanted to run these by you. I had no idea that the opportunity would come up this soon. Number one, the habit that kills your productivity. Do you suffer from this? You don't wake up early enough.
I could be guilty of that.
Number two, you focus on what's outside of your control.
No.
Number three.
Wait, stop right there. Okay. Most of what I just read on those headlines, they're outside our control. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So therefore, we shouldn't let them kill.
Don't.
Yeah, okay,
don't worry
good.
About
I like
it.
That means that's a very stoic thing to say.
Right.
Number three, you're in the wrong crowd.
Boy, I'll say.
Number four.
Sorry.
Number four, you don't know how to say no.
I do know how to, but it's taken a long time to learn how to.
You get the initial no.
With you, we get the initial no.
Get the initial no. Chris got it today, and he overwrote it because it was only the initial no. Right. By the way, have you cheated?
I have not heard back from her yet. Right.
And then finally, number five, you think you'll live forever.
No, I don't think that. Okay. I wish I could, but I don't.
Well, you came in about half.
Let's go to Nicole Mitchell. She was charged with burglary, entering her stepmother's home. It's getting to be, 2 weeks ago now. And she promptly returned to the Senate where...
Getting hugs.
Getting hugs and pats on the cheek. And aren't you special? And God love her. I hope everything works out in her life. But she clearly was up to something nefarious.
Where her mother told Tom Hauser that she was fearful of Nicole.
The stepmother claims that she's fearful, and she initially found Nicole Mitchell, a state senator, in the stepmother's bedroom, and then somehow Mitchell, dressed all in black with a burglary outfit on, was then found in the basement, and she was arrested. And what has led me to believe that the decline of moral and ethical integrity is so pronounced, and it's not just Nicole Mitchell, it's everywhere you look, but this happens to be our most current and fresh example. And her decline of moral and ethical integrity is merely cloaked in this theatrical process of holding an ethics hearing. That gives her moral and ethical decline some formality, as though doubt might be introduced to her decline of moral and ethical integrity. And yesterday began the ethics hearing, and we have audio from it.
This is her attorney.
Her attorney is named Bruce Ringstrom Jr.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Ringstrom, was your client arrested on April 22nd, 2024, and booked into Becker County Jail?
Probably yes. And why do I say probably?
Well, I'd like to know why he said probably.
That was the clip.
Okay.
And then it cut out. And then the other piece of audio we have from Mr. Ringstrom Jr. is this 90-second piece from yesterday.
If the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendments to the Constitution mean anything, then the senator's interests in the criminal case are more important at this particular time than any political inquiry or palace intrigue. Even asking the question, why would you now invoke the 5th Amendment, invites an answer that may require her to waive the 5th Amendment. We acknowledge that the criminal charge Senator Mitchell is facing is serious. That's why we represent her. For us, prioritizing her interests in that case is an easy decision. Now, of course, for an elected public figure, there are competing interests. But the senator is taking our advice and invoking her right to remain silent. Senator Mitchell, therefore, pleads the 5th Amendment to every single question, however innocuous or theoretically collateral it may be. I am saying it for her now, and she won't say it again for the remainder of this hearing. This is a blanket invocation. Senator Mitchell will be answering no questions, period. Likewise, we, as Senator Mitchell's counsel, aren't going to answer questions that would, by their nature, require us to betray work product. That is to say, the thinking and strategy that makes up a defense. When we tried to discern the manner in which this body would conduct this hearing, what we found is that such full-fledged hearings like this are rare.
Well, what can I add to that gibberish? Again, the decline of moral and ethical integrity is allowed to continue to decline, aided and abetted by crackpots. No, not crackpots.
People who don't follow
lawyers
the rules.
Like this guy, who engage in the theater of these hearings as though the hearings somehow trump the charges. That if you can throw enough legalese at this and plead the 5th Amendment often enough, you're somehow going to come out the other end not being guilty of anything, much less moral or ethical decline.
Was pun intended there?
Which one was the pun?
Trump the charges.
Yeah, no. Okay. No, it wasn't actually.
Okay, gotcha.
No.
Just wanted to make sure.
But this is, it's pathetic.
Yep.
But the human condition in this country has become pathetic to many degrees. And this is pathetic. And I think it's, she has going for her barely the fact that she's a woman. That places her in somewhat a protected class, even though not much of one, because she happens to be a white woman. Look how the mayor of Dalton, Illinois, mm-hmm. clings to her job as mayor, even though she's clearly corrupt. Clearly corrupt.
Yeah.
And then basically she's just full-time honoring the people of Dalton, Illinois. How dare you challenge my standing here in this great city of Dalton? I'm not going to allow you to tear down the power of a black woman in her role as a protector of the Constitution and civil rights here for the people of Dalton, Illinois. And excuse me, I've got to hurry up because I got a $500 hair appointment that you're going to pay for. It's all BS. Everything we're facing is just BS. And Mitchell is showing us nothing. Wouldn't you have a lot more respect for her if she stood up and said, look, I broke into the place. I'm a little messed up at the time. I'm trying to get my head on straight. I don't think I'm going to use the word appropriate. And you can foghorn me because the word has been destroyed. But she could say, it's absolutely not appropriate for me to be serving in the Senate right now. I would say, thank you. That's to be congratulated.
If the majority wasn't being decided by one vote, would the actions be the same?
I think it would be different.
How narcissistic do you have to be to not have any shame over that incident? I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
And again, it's not just her. Well, who's the senator in New Jersey? His house is full of gold bars and gifts from foreign countries, and he denies everything. Then you got Cuellar and Menendez. You got Cuellar in Texas, who promised the world to an oil company or something, and he's denying it. It's everywhere. It's everywhere you look.
But I think Mitchell, I think she's just trying to get her life right. Remember that excuse when she gets in trouble?
I'm trying to get my life right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honesty is for the poor and the dumb, evidently.
Deny, mm-hmm. deny, deny.
And her DFL brothers and sisters have nothing to be proud of. They're acting in concert with this. They're trying to protect the one vote majority. The session's drawing to a close. They can't risk not having their way. And
can I just say something that might ruffle some GL feathers? But if this had been a Republican that had done this, I think my sense is that the Republicans would be acting the same way right now and protecting that person. I'd like to think differently, but I don't trust anybody that.
No, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't think it'd be any different.
And the third
rail, this is another example of the third rail isn't there for you. They love this power. It's a great gig. Got a great pension. You know, the whole deal's great. A lot of time off. It's, you know, you get a little badge. And it's great. And you get under a parking spot. And you
under
know.
The table freebies.
Oh, yeah. It's just...
This is going to sound silly, but go to Sunday's paper if you get a chance. Mm-hmm. Look at the comics page and read Pearls Before Swine.
Yeah, I never read that one.
Everything you just said in the last 30 seconds, he encapsulates perfectly in a very funny comic strip.
Really?
Pearls Before Swine this past Sunday.
All right. Yep. All right.
Well, you've got me depressed. What we need is a real good, solid GL common sense candidate to represent us.
Well, you know what, Kenny? We just happen to have one.
Don't give it away yet. Give it away.
I thought it was it's it going be given to. Away on the spot
it
today?
Will. It will, yes. Coming up. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
On the spot. I wonder what it could be.
When may
you guys are really good at this.
When?
I've got 35 years under my belt. I still have no idea what I'm doing.
In the failed academy, which I blame for much of this, we discover that the Columbia Law School students want their final exams canceled. In the name of Palestine.
That's so awesome.
In a recent letter, the student editors of the Columbia Law Review made a public call for the school to cancel the semester's remaining exams and give all students passing grades for their work throughout the semester.
Nice.
Don't you wish you had that when you were in school, Rook?
Let's go, baby.
We believe that canceling exams would be a proportionate response to the level of distress our peers have been feeling, the unnamed students wrote in an open letter, and the country continues to burn out of control. I mean, ideologically and technically and theoretically and everything else. If I had a big-time law firm, I'd be on the lookout to never hire one of these kids. Well, what difference does it make anymore?
Right. They'd be defending the likes of Nicole Mitchell.
The plea comes after Columbia on April 30 authorized NYPD to clear out trespassers who violently and forcibly took over the school's Hamilton Hall and smashed windows and trashed furniture while at it. And yet these law schools describe the police's action as violence that has irrevocably shaken many of them and the majority of our classmates. You're telling me that the majority of Columbia law students who were admitted to a program with a 12% acceptance rate are unable to do their work amidst political upheaval? And for some reason, my New York Post printing of this story ended right there. But perhaps that's all I need to know.
Yeah, there's just another couple paragraphs.
That's really all I need to know.
You said it all.
Yeah.
You can leave this on under me.
All right.
Well, I tell you that maybe you're planning to move. Move your business, expand it, enlarge it. Maybe you're thinking about Sioux Falls just to gain, if nothing else, a better tax climate. South Dakota has the second best tax climate in the country. And Sioux Falls is a place where you could, increase profits. Go to SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. Safer streets, award-winning schools, short commutes, vibrant, growing downtown, pro-business attitude. These are not bad reasons to take a long look at Sioux Falls. They've got a motivated workforce ready to help your business grow. Escape the high taxes of Minnesota by planning your expansion or relocation to Sioux Falls. It ain't that far away. I'd miss you, but we're on a podcast.
I'm skipping a
jump. You can listen if you're on a beach in somewhere.
Come on.
You know, where they have sand and stuff.
Anguilla?
And Anguilla,
yeah.
2024, the time to make your move to check out Sioux Falls, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
It's a positive Thursday at Garage Logic. That means Mike Schoonover, the Fender Bender Mender himself, is on the horn. That's because Positive Thursday, like always, for many years now, is brought to us by Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care. They're right there in Shoreview, 1060 County Road E. Anything you need related to auto care can be found at Schoonover's. Hi, Mike. How you doing today?
Hi, Kenny. I'm good. But hey, can I clarify something?
Did I make a mistake already?
Of Positive Thursday.
Oh, you're right. It is Wednesday, because on Thursday, the boys are going to the ballpark. You have something to tell us. You've got something on your mind, and GLers may or may not be shocked by what you're about to announce. Go ahead, Mike. The floor is yours.
So, you know, we're talking about the continued moral and ethical decline in this state and country and world, and people aren't stepping up to lead. And so I happen to live in the Eagan area, and I happen to live in District 52B. So I'm going to run for the House this coming November as a Republican candidate.
Oh, wow.
And hopefully I get the endorsement, but there's nobody else running. So, Joe has talked about in the past that people need to step up and people are afraid to step up, but somebody's got to step up. We got to do, you know, we've had thousands and thousands of people die for what we do every day and the life that we live and the freedoms that we have. And it's all going downhill. We're losing more and more every day. And the nonsense that's taking place at the Capitol, I can complain about it. I can bitch about it, but I have to do something about it. So I can't stand idly by anymore.
Hold it a minute.
Here's today's ray of hope.
All right. I just had to get that in there. This is fantastic news. I love it. I couldn't be happier for you. I couldn't be happier for the state. You got to win.
Yeah, and I hope that, you know, because I'm busy. I don't want to do this. I'm 60 years old and I got a business and a foundation and a family and all kinds of things going on. And I will make the time to make this happen. And
that's the key. You're not a professional activist. You're trying to help.
Yeah. So I hope that if I can do it, I'm hoping that there's other people who are like-minded that will do the same thing and we'll get some sanity back at the Capitol.
And your family and your fellow coworkers at Schoonover Body Works, are they cool with this?
They are. My family is very skeptical, but I just need to be better. I need to make more time. I need to be more efficient but it's got to be done. Cause like I say, if we don't stop what's going on, this state is going to be a cesspool in a number of years.
Yeah. We need more people like you. Are you trying to get the endorsement of Garage Logic? You know, our history with candidates.
Yeah. You got to really think this through, man.
We're going to break that cycle.
All right.
Yeah. We're all for it. And I think people are probably fed up enough that maybe they will. But no, I, of course, GL is how I live. I mean, that's how we should be living. So it's just common sense. It's a common sense platform, Joe.
Thank you.
And, the one thing about you, Mike, that has been true for the many, many years that I've known you, you're always optimistic and you're always positive. And I'm really looking forward to you bringing that to St. Paul. That'll be good for the state.
Yeah, let's hope. But there's going to be a lot of work to do, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to learning a lot about government and people and getting to meet people and getting to hear their stories and how they view things and that type of thing, and hopefully I can help.
Well, that's fantastic news. Congratulations, and we'll be at your side for the whole run. Meanwhile, GLers, the official body shop and auto care center, they've been at it since 1938. Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care, always rated as one of the top metro shops. You can find them on the web at schoonoverbodyworks.com.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Souchere.
Minnesota Masonic Charities, online at mnmasoniccharities.org. They do a lot of things for the community. Different services, philanthropy, leadership. Minnesota Masonic Charities is very fortunate to have inspired the leadership of community pillars and fraternal members on its board of directors, and a select group of talented staff to carry out the mission. If you'd like to learn more, go to their website, mnmasoniccharities.org. There are scholarships. There's all sorts of great charity deals that are done through the website. And by the way, if you would like to apply for one of those scholarships for next year, go to mnmasoniccharities.org and click on scholarships. Otherwise, if you just want to learn more, maybe you want to learn more about the Civility School. Yes, Minnesota Masonic Charities is worried about what's going on in the community, the stuff that Joe is talking about in Garage Logic each and every day. So they're developing a civility school so people can get back on track. If you'd like to learn more, if you'd like to maybe donate some advice, that's always free, 952-948-6200. Or remember, Minnesota Masonic Charities at mnmasoniccharities.org.
There's a piece in the, is it called Twin Cities Business Journal? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In which Mayor Fry, Jacob Fry, envisions downtown Minneapolis as becoming a playground of activity. This poor guy
for gangbangers or for people.
This guy has been really, really attempting to tout the rebirth of downtown Minneapolis. And he said in his 2024 State of the City address, just yesterday. This is Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes.
Just yesterday. How this city, specifically downtown Minneapolis, is rebounding from the challenges induced by the pandemic and the unrest sparked by George Floyd. He delivered his speech from the North Star Center in downtown Minneapolis, which is undergoing an $85 million redevelopment that will convert some of the office space into apartments. Fry said the commercial to residential conversion happening at North Star, a strategy many downtowns are using for post-pandemic revitalization, is symbolic of his vision for the future of downtown. Well, that's the problem. You're having visions. He said he sees downtown becoming a playground of activity, citing examples like a fully pedestrianized. I'm not even sure that's a word. A full pedestrianized Nicollet Mall and turning the warehouse district into an entertainment hub. All right. The state of our city is brimming with possibility and leaning into change.
Pedestrianize is a word. Yep. Close a street or area to traffic, making it accessible only to pedestrians.
Pedestrianize. Mm-hmm.
That makes me so mad.
Well, Fry spent a good portion of his speech rattling off positive statistics relating to increases in Minneapolis hotel occupancy and the uptick. Would you foghorn uptick, please?
Oh, yeah, I just got to get the...
In the amount of people visiting downtown for events, he also warned of the likely property tax burden shift city residents will see as downtown property valuations fall. From 2023 to 2024, downtown Minneapolis properties saw a decline in assessed values between 20 and 24%. That money's got to come from somewhere, so that burden of a regressive tax shifts to our residents, he said.
Well, what about stop spending the money?
Here's the problem. And it's not in it's in St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Louis. Wherever you are closest to the country's tallest buildings, downtowns are just, they're never going to be what they were.
Why?
Because for a variety of reasons. For example, the way people work has changed over the generations. A lot of people can work from their car. A lot of people can work from home. A lot of businesses have moved to a suburban location. Businesses have spread out. No longer are downtowns the commercial center of an area. They've spread out. We have malls and we have little areas that have sprung up, like 50th in France is a little commercial center. But even some of those are suffering, like Grand Avenue in St. Paul is on the ropes because most of the buildings are owned by a teacher's pension fund in Ohio, and they've made the rent so improbably high that businesses can't stay there. I'm drifting.
I don't think you are. Remember all of the retail businesses we used to have in downtown Minneapolis, not just Dayton's and Donaldson's, but the entire city center. Are those businesses still up and running?
No. When I was a kid, to get a hockey stick, I had to go to downtown St. Paul. Now, I'm sure I could have got one at a hardware store somewhere out in the White Bear area, but to get a Norcon, that's what you had to have.
Got it.
For a while, in downtown Minneapolis, there were two Schindler's stores right across the street from each other on Hennepin.
So there's that problem, and that really can't be blamed on the Fry crowd. That's not his fault that the way people work and where they work has changed over the generations, right? What can be blamed on Fry, and this is nothing he'll ever understand, the city council in Minneapolis will never understand it. Once this country allowed political activists to run the cities had no hope of being what they were at one time. What made downtowns vibrant was commerce.
I remember as a kid, if you were going downtown,
it was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
And again, keeping in mind, a lot of it isn't their fault, but what's left can never be fixed by the current political class because they have no knowledge or interest in commerce. They've never engaged in it. They demonize it. They don't know what it is. They've made businesses uncomfortable. They overregulate and overtax, and they've never met a payroll themselves. They've never hired anybody. Many of them have not even been in this country very long, so they have no memory to fall back on of what downtowns were like, or tradition and convention of what a downtown was. And they've been taken over by people. One of the first things they did is make sure you don't put up any Christmas decorations downtown. Right. Let's not highlight what this is. Let's not have any fireworks downtown. The political class currently running the country's biggest cities have no interest in the various dynamics that made the downtown successful in the first place, which was commerce and business and banking and dry goods and clothing and what have you. All of that's been spread out, and I'll keep saying it. All of that isn't their fault. But what's left of the downtowns in attempting to recover, they'll never recover because they don't know what they're dealing with.
Okay. Don't disagree with anything you said. How do you change it? Is it possible? And let's just focus on Minneapolis. Is it possible to turn downtown Minneapolis around and make it not only a destination for evening entertainment, but daytime eating and entertainment? When I first moved there in the early 80s, there was a restaurant in the atrium of the IDS Center that made such amazing soup that we would get a car, we would drop a guy off and circle the block until he came out with five servings of soup. They don't have that anymore, do they?
No.
You know what I mean? A destination 24 hours a day. How do you do that?
The last time I was in the IDS Crystal Court was maybe 4 months ago, and we ate at a Panera. There are no big
No independent shops? Yeah.
Well, I'm going to answer your question.
Yeah.
I don't think it can be turned around. I don't think there's an answer. I don't think there's a magic bullet.
Well, look, it's not at what I wanted to hear.
That U.S. Bank building that's for sale from Madison, they're going to lose 9 out of their 10 floors. U.S. Bank is vacating that. They're going to keep one floor.
We can't even get 2/5 of our staff to go to a Twins game.
Downtowns don't work the way they used to. And they're not inclined to ever return to functioning the way they used to.
But I have a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
What you just mentioned about Fry. On Friday, they will have probably a good-sized crowd for a Timberwolves viewing party. And those in that position will tout this with social media posts saying, look it, we're back.
And that's fine.
But I'm saying that
they will be for 12 hours.
But that's masking the much larger problem that you're speaking of.
Are the Twins home through the week?
No, they're tomorrow.
They go back on the road?
Tomorrow's their last day at home. At least I'm almost positive it is.
Yeah.
I should look it up.
So, downtown Friday night with an 8:30 Timberwolves start. Yeah, it'll be a hell of a place.
It'll be festive.
It'll be a hell of
fun. Yeah, a lot of fun.
You want to go to Tom's Watch Bar?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
No. But that's what the cities have had to now rely on. Instead of convention and tradition of commerce, the only hope big cities have is sports, basically.
Yep. It is.
Are there any lessons to be learned from medium-sized cities who have successful downtowns? I'm thinking of St. Cloud, Alexandria, Brainerd, Fergus Falls, Bemidji. And times have changed for those downtowns, and the original stores that used to be there in the 40s, 50s, and up through the 80s are gone, but they've adapted. There's no way in your mind that downtown Minneapolis can adapt, do something completely different. When what would it be? I think you already answered that.
It's not going to happen.
What about Nicollet Mall?
Well, it's always been boring.
Yeah.
But now it's vacant.
But now it's vacant.
Yeah.
And I don't think, Kenny, to answer your question about that for Nicollet Mall, I don't think shops can afford it because the rent is...
But stop. When Nicollet Mall was bustling, what was it bustling with? People who work downtown.
Yeah, who wanted to get outside. And on their lunch break,
they needed to go buy a shirt. I'm going to meet Marge for a lunch.
A bowl of soup.
Right, and they didn't want to use the Skyway because it was a wonderful day. Right. Yeah.
Well, you're not going to bustle if there's nothing to be there to bustle for.
Right.
Ain't no bustle.
The club takes off for America's Hat on Friday to take on the Blue Jays.
We go to Toronto.
Correct.
Right.
But you had places like Dayton's, which was a shopping experience. You had ladies, I'm not being sexist here, coming downtown to go shop at Dayton's and then go
Donaldson's, same thing, Matt.
Yeah. And then go up to the eighth floor to have their lunch in the whatever that atrium used to be.
And again, part of that is not the failure of politicians. Part of that is that there's probably a fine dress boutique in Wayzata that wasn't there in 1960.
So what you're saying is a guy can't go to Nicollet Mall and get himself a shirt with, you know, jellyfish on it anymore.
I don't know where you get these shirts.
I shall not reveal your source.
Hell, there were car dealerships downtown.
Yeah. As recent as 9/11, 2001.
I mean, Hansard Pontiac was on the corner of, Hennepin and Washington.
Isn't there a Jaguar?
They were Jaguar, too.
They were in Washington.
And you go way back prior to that, there were car dealerships all up and down University Avenue in St. Paul and Lake Street in Minneapolis, but also downtown Minneapolis were some foreign car dealerships.
But the only thing that...
Downtown St. Paul had an Opel dealership. They had Joy Brothers. Everything moved. And again, not all that's the fault of the politicians.
The one thing we haven't brought up, probably because it's such a cliche, is the crime problem. Do you think the crime problem is keeping the people from the suburbs out of downtown?
Yes.
Let's just ignore the people from my part of the world.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you'll have defenders pointing out that crime statistics are down or what have you. Well, I think they're down because we're just not reporting crimes as heavily as we used to.
I read a piece about that, and that's an epidemic across the United States.
Yeah, we're just not reporting the crimes.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
If you don't report them, they don't exist.
It goes away.
Right.
And Fry believing that Minneapolis will become a playground of activity. Here's the other part of the equation that Mysterians get wrong. In its heyday, downtowns were never a playground per se. It was people letting off steam from having worked. What the Mysterians envision is, well, why can't we just have the playground part? Well, the playground went hand in hand with a guy working 9 to 5
at Target downtown,
and then he came out onto the street, and then business operators saw this and they thought, you know, that corner there'd be a good place for a bar, and then a bar went up, and then suddenly you had people downtown from 1900 to 1995.
You guys remember the place Hopcat? Those guys on the beer show a number of times, and they told me that their entire business model was based upon happy hour. They were on the corner of 5th and maybe Nicollet, but they basically, that was their whole business model.
Newspaper. The newspaper probably contributed knows how many dollars to downtown.
Mm-hmm. Especially the bars after 5 p.m.
Yeah, and even the Minneapolis papers scaled way back. They might own, they rent one floor of an office building. They no longer have their own building. The Pioneer Press doesn't have a building, period. That it's no longer downtown. Well, there you were flooding 300 people a day into the streets as recently as the late 80s. Into the 90s.
Tell me, you guys that still go down there a lot. When I worked downtown at various jobs, we could eat at a different restaurant for lunch every single day and not go to the same restaurant for 2 weeks straight. Is it still the same?
God, no.
Well, I don't go downtown. I have no reason to anymore. But when the St. Paul Pioneer Press was on Cedar Street between 4th and 5th, You could go out every day in the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s and go to a different restaurant.
Kenny, remember, I don't remember but if I told today. You guys this. No. On the Friday of the Big Ten basketball tournament, I was there with my dad and my two uncles. And Tom's Watch Bar was open. Cool place. Huge, but it had an hour wait list. We walked to three different buildings. Two of them weren't open. The only place that was open was the Loon. And we walked in and had a beer at the Loon.
Oh.
But everything else wasn't even open on a Friday afternoon.
I hate to see towns become government towns, but there's nothing but real estate available in downtown St. Paul right now, much of it for sale. But what does the government do? It wastes your money by taking almost $1 billion to build themselves an unneeded expansion of a state office building when they could go six blocks and have their choice of any building they want for pennies on the dollar. And there you'd have a downtown full of people. But the government doesn't help any.
It's really amazing because both downtowns have light rail that should, in theory, lead people right to the doorstep. You can park at the Mall of America or anywhere in the outskirts, hop on the train. Boy, I sound like Sharon Sales Belt,
really
don't
do. I? off on an art store or a joint.
Yeah.
Right now with Precision Door, Garage Door, you can schedule a free on-site new door estimate. Have the guys from Precision Door come out. You get $100 off a single car garage door, $200 off a double car garage door. But it's way more than a new garage door. It's going to improve security. It's going to improve insulation. It's going to improve curb appeal. They can coordinate the security with any app you have that in your house or in your car. These guys do it all. This is the greatest garage door company we have in the area. They don't charge more for weekend visits. They generally and most often complete their work on one visit. You know why? They got the stuff in the truck. They don't give you that spiel. I got to run back downtown. Usually they don't have to. They got the right stuff. They want to take care of your scheduled call in one visit, and they keep you informed of that with texting you. The emails they get are rave about these people. They do a hell of a job. They serve the metro and western Wisconsin. Book online at precisiondoormn.com. Or call Precision Door at 612-263-6985 to schedule your free new door estimate.
Not a Garage Logic Town Council member. Here's what you're missing.
I had too many venison brats this morning. I'm not feeling right.
Well, I don't have any sympathy for somebody eating bratwurst in the morning.
Today, I've been up since 3:45, so define morning.
Anything before noon.
You would have made a fine king. You would have been an iron fist.
I'd walk out on the balcony about 1.
I think you'd be a lot like Crazy George.
Say, how's everybody doing?
Be barking at the moon.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
The second place is the first loser. If you're not first, you're last. Once you settle for second, I think the great JFK said, that's where you'll be for the rest of your life. Wow. I'm talking about the only competition that really, truly matters, your lawn. And yes, you might not realize it. It is a competition. And what I like, and this has happened organically since you started it, John, people have been sending me lawn porn.
Nice.
Shannon sent me a shot of her fancy yards yesterday. Pretty nice. But the one I got this morning from Bernie, this lawn is so amazing that I don't think I believe him. I think he went to a country club and took a photo because it's like a carpet. I can't believe it. And without even seeing the competition in Bernie's neighborhood, I'm declaring him the winner. It's just that simple. All you have to do is click on professionalturf.com. That's the winner's link. Click on that, sign up for a free estimate, a ProTurf guy, gal. They'll come out and walk your lawn, check it out, see what your issues are, and then customize, set up a slow-release fertilizer and weed control plan. It's environmentally safe, of course, but it's also guaranteed for superior results. A lush lawn, no crabgrass, no dandelions, no broadleaf weeds. And it all starts with that click to professionalturf.com. We're talking pros here, exceptional lawn care, landscape, and irrigation service. So if you need that thing, wake it up in the spring and service it all summer and then put it to bed in the fall, ProTurf can do that too. But it all starts with a click to professionalturf.com.
It really is a competition because no matter how unconsciously you even think about it, you always know who has the best yard in the neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And in my neighborhood, it's between two guys.
Yep.
And they're not consciously at war. It's just they're the two guys.
Yep. They set the bar.
They set the bar.
Yep.
Here's John Hite.
Head of the two guys.
Thank you, Joe. This news brought to you by North American Banking Company. A little more detail story you talked about earlier, Joe. An ethics panel in the Senate will wait for developments in DFL Senator Nicole Mitchell's criminal case before they decide whether to advance to a full investigation. Mitchell, as we all know, is charged with burglary after breaking into her stepmother's house on the morning of April 22nd in Detroit Lakes. Republican senators filed an ethics complaint 2 days later. The ethics committee, made of two Republicans and two Democrats, met for the first time yesterday. They could have recommended anything from a reprimand to removal from office. Mitchell's hearing started several hours after it was supposed to, and lawmakers didn't get a lot of answers about the night in question. Through her attorney, Bruce Ringstrom Jr., Mitchell repeatedly pleaded the Fifth Amendment. After hearing arguments from Republican complainants and Mitchell's attorney, committee members took several votes on how to proceed, but struggled to come to an agreement. Both DFL members of the committee, Senators Bobby Joe Champion and Mary Kunish, supported waiting until after the criminal case had finished, or at least until after Mitchell's next court date on June 10th. The two Republicans moved that there is probable cause, pushed to continue the investigation for today. But after a brief closed-door meeting, the committee came back and voted to continue proceedings on June 12th. They also agreed to reconvene if anything substantial came up.
The session's over by then.
Yes, very much so.
Bill Glahn from the Center of the American Experiment 32 minutes ago said the following: weeks after Democrats claimed that they booted Senator Mitchell off of her committees, she is still on all of her committees. It was a lie, and he included the profile page of Senator Mitchell, in which this is all still included on there.
Well, there's a decline of moral and ethical integrity everywhere you look.
But they pinky promised they were going to remove her. Does that count?
Pinky promise?
I think it was a pinky promise.
A pinky promise. Star Tribune reporting workers at or near alleged food distribution sites in Owatonna, Shakopee, Lexington, St. Paul, and Minneapolis testified in federal court yesterday. They didn't see the thousands of meals claimed to be given out in those places during the COVID-19 pandemic. Six witnesses continued testimony supporting prosecutors' allegations that the seven defendants who are on trial right now, all with ties to the nonprofit Feeding Our Future, did not serve the thousands of meals to low-income kids that they said they did, but still drew millions of dollars in federal reimbursements.
Yeah, but the FBI did not go out there to not see it.
It's their fault.
It's their fault.
You're going to use that line every time I read that story.
I love it, man. The FBI didn't see us not doing it.
National politics making some news here in Minnesota. Former President Trump's trip to a Republican fundraiser on Friday comes on the same day his son Barron graduates from school, and that's causing some criticism. You might remember Trump berated the judge in his hush money case because he said he wouldn't be allowed to go to the graduation or spend time with his family that day. Well, the judge eventually allowed Trump, and the case will take that day off. Now, apparently, Trump will spend the early part of the day with his family. The graduation is a morning affair, then come to Minnesota for the fundraiser. 10-seat ticket packages for the event range from $15,000 to $100,000, with a photo op with Trump included in packages that cost $25,000 or more.
Can you get a Bible? Will there be a table out in the hall with Bibles?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the graduation. When you were a graduation, and your graduation was coming up from high school or maybe even college, what was the one thing as a graduate that you were looking forward to at the party? Use the envelope.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, get the cash. Yeah. Cash.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. How much?
No, I learned that at First Communion.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Matthew. Right. That's where it started with me, too. So what do you think, Barron, what do you think the number he has in mind?
I'm not sure you can ever pay that kid enough.
He ain't got it.
I know this has been discussed in GL before, but I overheard a conversation the other day in which a parent told another parent that I may or may not be married to, yeah, we have to head to my nephew's third grade graduation party.
Nope. No,
there is no such thing.
Wait a minute.
No, there is no such thing.
Hold on here. Hold on. I get, okay, kindergarten, preschool. Okay, I kind of get that.
No.
Sixth grade into junior high. No, I can kind of understand that.
No.
Third grade?
High school, barely.
Yeah.
And college, yes.
Wait.
I don't get the junior high one even. The eighth grade. Everybody does that.
Going to a new school. I can kind of see that.
Yes. High school grads that was a big deal in 1930.
Okay,
but not now.
I'll give you junior high only if you flunked the same grade 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get a party, Matthew. Matt, then you get your party.
I finally made it.
It's funny you say that because when Joe said high school barely, he did look at all of us a little fishy.
The other national news story involving somebody from here in Minnesota, Republican U.S. Representative Don Bacon of Nebraska has released a resolution in an attempt to send Representative Ilhan Omar after her remarks that she made about Jewish students during a visit to Columbia University last month. The comments at a university encampment sparked criticism. During her visit, Omar, a supporter of Palestinians, told a reporter she met Jewish students at the protest and, quote, all Jewish kids should be kept safe. We should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Well, she's full of S.
Yeah, that phrase there, as you might imagine, drew some criticism. Bacon's resolution takes aim at those remarks and her, quote, resentful, hateful comments and recent history of anti-Semitism.
You know, Rook, a guy in your position should be able to do a pretty good Omar voice, but you need to practice. You need to work on it. She got a little of that Elmer Fudd thing going.
Yeah.
I can sense that. And it's a high cracking voice. And no, you don't have to do it right now, but it's something you should think about.
But Ricky doesn't have a high voice.
Who?
Rook.
Yeah, but that's what people who mimic voices do. They change
their pitch. Oh, okay. Thanks.
You got to change your pitch, bitch.
No, that's what I'm saying, though, because you gave him the thing about Jesse Morgan Freeman. It was the tender between him and Frank.
Yeah, well, he came close. He comes close with Morgan, and he does a wonderful Jesse. And I think you ought to be able to do Omar. I think it'd be wonderful to have Omar at the ready.
I'll practice in the car.
I'm sure you will.
Officials are investigating after a Sandhill crane was shot and left for dead Sunday afternoon in Todd County. Spokesperson for the Minnesota DNR said an investigation is underway after a report from a person at around 1 in the afternoon said they heard two shots and found the crane. The two eggs that the crane was sitting on were damaged. The babies did not survive. DNR officials think the crane was shot from the roadway northeast of Clarissa in Germania Township. If you have any information to share on this, you're asked to contact the DNR's Turn-In Poachers hotline or send an anonymous tip via text.
I love all of you. That story was done without anyone saying, tastes like chicken.
No, I was going to say, I don't know why anybody would shoot a sandhill crane because those things taste really fishy.
See, that's different. See,
well, I think at this point we better take a break and see.
Well, my praise was too premature.
Waiting for the opening.
It was.
I thought just it tastes waiting. Like bald eagle. That's what I thought.
So they taste like chicken.
I see.
Eagles. Chris. Hell, they're as common as squirrels.
I'm sure he's happy about this, but North American Banking Company brings you this portion of John Height's newscast every single day, and they are my bank. If you're in the market for maybe making a banking switch, I cannot recommend my friends at North American Banking Company. company highly enough. They first opened back in 1998, and they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers, where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, that has not. They invest in the people, businesses, and organizations that make the Twin Cities a great place to live, and they get it. They understand that there's no shortage of banking options here. So if you're tired of just being a number to your big national bank, then be sure to check out my friends at North American Banking Company. Six locations to serve you: Roseville, 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. They do offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank. Check them out online today. It's nabankco.com to learn more. Banking done differently. North American Banking Company, member FDIC, is an equal housing lender.
You'll learn more here by accident than elsewhere by design. Here's Joe Souchere.
You internet savvy hipsters are going to love this one. It's a website. You can order the Bugs Be Gone to have it delivered right to your home. BugsBeGoneWorks.com. The B as in Bugs Be Gone. It's the letter B, not B-E. So keep that in mind. But this really makes the acquisition of Bugs Be Gone simple. And boy, does it work. It's worth it. Even if you have to chase it down, all you do is spray it on and then wash it off. And we're talking anything organic, bugs, algae, mildew, even brake dust on the rims, exhaust suit around the rear quarter panel, road grime. Bugs Be Gone is safe to use on all of those things. It's good on vehicle paint, your clear coat, gel coats. That means boats, snowmobiles, etc. Metal, glass. What can you come up with, Such?
Well, you did it again. It's a not exhaust suit.
Yeah, it is.
It's soot.
Oh, it's suit. It's S-O-O-T.
Right.
Suit.
Soot.
Suit.
All right.
Like boots.
Yeah.
Suit.
Yeah, like boots you wear on your foot.
Don't you get it? Jeez. Even your little scooter, that little cute scooter that you run your plastic bags down to the recycling center with, it'll work on that. Just spray it on, wash it off, super easy, takes all the misery out of cleaning bugs. It even works on suit, your zoot suit.
It works on your suit.
What if you get it on your suit?
Get this stuff.
Got it.
If you don't want to go to auto parts stores, hardware stores, Fleet Farm, you can buy it online. Bugs Be Gone Works.
Hell, you can get it at mortuaries. It's everywhere. I mean,
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yep.
In other news, the Israeli military said today that it has reopened its Kerem Shalom crossing into Gaza after days of closure. But the UN says no humanitarian aid's yet entered, and there's no one to get it on the Palestinian side anyway after the workers fled during the military incursion into the area. The Kerem Shalom crossing between Gaza and Israel was closed over the weekend after a Hamas rocket attack killed four Israeli soldiers nearby. And yesterday, an Israeli tank brigade seized the nearby Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt, forcing its closure. Russian forces unleashed a nighttime barrage of more than 50 cruise missiles and explosive drones at Ukraine's power grid, targeting a wide area in what President Volodymyr Zelensky called a massive attack on the day that Ukraine celebrated the defeat of Nazism in World War II. The bombardment blasted targets in seven Ukrainian regions, including the Kyiv area and parts of the south and west. Mike Johnson News, the embattled House Speaker and far-right Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene met for another day at the Capitol yesterday, the second day in a row. Political adversaries trying to engineer an off-ramp from the escalating standoff over her threat for a vote to oust him from office. Johnson is hoping to avoid a politically fraught outcome in which he would keep his job, but only after relying on Democrats who have pledged their support to save him, at least this time around. Green, top ally of Donald Trump, faces her own potentially embarrassing setback if the motion to vacate the speaker fizzles, as is expected. Trump spoke privately to Greene over the weekend, urged her to drop her push to oust Johnson. During the discussion, Trump allegedly told Greene the party needs to be unified, according to sources. Story you mentioned earlier, third-party presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. has faced some health issues, among them a worm that apparently ate part of his brain and then died. In 2010, RFK Jr. was experiencing memory loss and mental fogginess so severe that a friend thought he might have a brain tumor. Kennedy consulted several of the country's top neurologists, many who had treated or spoken to his uncle, Senator Edward Kennedy, who died from brain cancer. Several doctors noticed a dark spot on the younger Kennedy's brain scans, concluded he had a tumor. However, now while packing for the trip to the hospital, he said he received a call from a doctor at New York Presbyterian Hospital who had a different opinion. Kennedy, he believed, had a dead parasite in his head.
Gross.
Dead worm.
The doctor believed the abnormality seen on the scans was caused by a worm that, in Kennedy's words, got into my brain and ate a portion of it and then died. He's also, for decades, suffered from
He's got some bad brain.
Very nice. Fibrillation, a common heartbeat abnormality that increases the risk of stroke or heart failure.
I don't have worm in my brain, Kenny.
Okay, I'll drop it. I won't bring it up.
No. I kept glancing at the screen. I couldn't figure out what Kenny was trying to say.
Kenny's trying to tell me he's pointing at me, and that's what you got.
not very nice, Kenny. He's been hospitalized 4 times for the fibrillation, although he says he hasn't had it in about 10 years.
Did he get his brain cut open to get it out of there?
I looked at 2 stories. It wasn't in either one. I think the fact that it was dead.
I'm going to go through with it. Cut it open and get it out of there. I don't want to know I got a worm in there.
Go through the ear or the nose?
Get the worm out of there.
Well, how do you get a worm in there?
Well, an earworm's different.
Wait, was he at like a strip club or what?
You know, Randy Wayne White once had... Tomlinson is Doc Ford's buddy, and he had a parasitic worm go up his swimsuit area.
There's a place in South America where that worm is common.
I don't want that.
You pay extra for that.
Well, that's
put a hat on.
I'd almost rather have one in the brain. Although you could make the argument there's little distinction.
Hey now,
but oh, boom, boom.
Some duct tape would solve that problem. Yeah. Just keep that door closed.
Another story that you mentioned earlier, Joe, and this one is pretty creepy, I think. Yeah. United States Marine Forces Special Ops Command looks to be the first organization within the U.S. military to be using rifle-wielding robot dogs.
Okay, now I'm going to be concerned about that.
Yes, I am too. Yeah. Other armed robotic canines have been explored by the U.S. military and shown off by foreign countries in the recent past. Eric Schell is the head of business development at Onyx Industries, which supplied the gun system for the dogs that are in use for the government. Schell noted that the government has 2 robot dogs fitted with gun systems based on Onyx's Sentry remote weapon system. And then we hear about the caliber. I don't know anything about this. Kenny, maybe you do. I don't know. One has a 7.62 by 39 millimeter caliber, and another has a 6.5 millimeter Creedmoor caliber. It's unclear precisely how many other dogs they may have at present. However, it looks likely the 2 equipped with Sentry are being tested for the command.
Where do they anticipate using these?
Well, I would assume any battle, don't you think? I don't
know. On humans? Shoot somebody.
Are we looking so far in the future where robots are just going to fight the wars for us?
Yes.
Well, and then has anybody done a cost study on the cost of losing a life, flesh and bone, compared to the cost losing a robot?
Not at all.
I'd like to see those numbers.
Can you imagine, given what the Pentagon pays for things, what bones will cost to give those dogs?
I had not considered that, dude.
How much would that
be? Boy, was that weak. That was so weak.
How weak was it?
It was so weak. Bare bones,
wait.
It was so weak, it makes me think I have a worm in my brain.
Try it again. Try it one more time.
Geez, given what the government, what the Pentagon pays for things, can you imagine what bones for those dogs will cost? Hey!
Belly jiggler.
You know, they're paying $500 for a hammer. You know, what a bone.
That's what you're talking about.
We got it.
I don't think you have to explain it.
Anyway.
Next door, a story from our neighbors in Wisconsin. A Waukesha man, or Waukesha, as I once said, and a woman, separated by nearly 40 years in age, faced disorderly conduct charges for having sex in the Waukesha County Jail lobby.
The accused.
Whoa, that's That's a mess.
He didn't even make it out to the car?
That's a mess.
The accused.
Well, the moment is right for you.
Yeah. Man, guy must have popped a pill or something.
Oddly enough,
who was older, the woman?
The woman was older, but what Chris said is close, as you'll see in just a moment, is a quote from the guy. It pops up. The accused are 28-year-old Desmond Cleveland. He's the male. And the female is 67-year-old Karen Hill. So 28 years old.
Undefeated.
Kill.
Can we not interrupt and hear this story?
Yeah. According to the criminal complaint, a sheriff's deputy was dispatched to the county jail lobby on May 2nd for a possible disorderly conduct, lewd and lascivious behavior call. The jail supervisor called to report two individuals had sex in the lobby and that the female was still on the scene. The deputy was able to get the video surveillance of the incident, which happened at around 3 a.m. It showed two individuals in the lobby engaged in sexual acts. The deputy contacted Hill, who indicated Cleveland was her boyfriend. They intended to hang out at a boarding house, but they got locked out of the boarding house. So,
oh my God,
Jesus! This is unbelievable.
Well, they walked telling in, everybody.
They walked into the jail lobby and took a nap. Defendant Hill did admit that they had sexual intercourse and that it was consensual. She said she tried to cover them both up with articles of clothing so nobody could see it happen. The complaint says the pair have been dating for 5 years. So since he was 23 and she was 61.
Well, she was just a kid then.
But how full was the lobby at 3 a.m.?
No, nobody.
Yeah, there's nobody in there.
So who can, okay. You know, that's all right then.
Yeah. When the deputy questioned Cleveland, and here's Chris's answer, pretty much what Cleveland says. They questioned about what happened. He basically said, sex happens. You know. When it arises.
Joe and John, you're being very judgmental here. Helen Mirren at 67, and tell me you'd say no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's tough to, yeah, I mean, you know.
Were they on a bench at least, maybe? Or?
Yeah, there's a picture. Yeah, not a. Yeah. I mean, they had
Did
blurred
out. Did you study
that
picture, John?
Who was driving, John? Do we know that the answer to that?
I don't, because everything is blurred out except, you know, the individuals are blurred out.
And they were in no way prisoners of the jail. They just were using the facility.
Yeah, they got locked out of the boarding
house. That's fine. They pay taxes. It's a public building. Well, go ahead.
What, can you
just 3 in the morning.
How did they get in at 3 in the morning? It's closed. The
door's open. It's a jail.
It's a jail.
It's nothing. You go on, you walk in, you go in.
It's like Otis.
Yeah, you go on, you run around.
Like Otis. They did make initial appearances in court. They were given a signature bond of $1,000. So my guess is the punishment.
With indecent exposure?
Lewd and lascivious behavior.
Well, there was nobody to witness it.
Yeah. And disorderly conduct.
Yeah, there's no crime if nobody sees it.
Well, the victimless crime.
Yeah. The poor deputy, though, had to watch the video. So, I mean,
over and over again, 18 times.
And then made a copy and took it home. It's on his laptop, his cell phone.
He pulled a J. Cole's. Remember that one? Check out the video again. I forget what that was for.
Do you have a picture of these? Can you give us a description?
There were mug shots with the accompanying story.
Does the 67-year-old look 67?
She looks about 83.
Okay.
Okay. So the next question to you, John, was going to be, would you? So, no. Okay. All right. I think we've sunk low enough here, Joe.
Well, when I was 28, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I was in my 20s once.
Yeah, what if you looked out the windows and saw that happening in your yard? Can I do this?
I would hope.
Phone the neighbor. Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Award-winning windows by Anderson.
That's long enough separation. Yeah, we're good.
I think so.
Yep.
Sure. I love this time of year because I love to open windows.
Yeah.
And they crank right out, and you gotta, you know, boom. You gotta have windows that work. Anderson Windows work. You all know people with Anderson Windows. They're made right here. Renewal by Anderson. They have the most 5-star reviews of anybody. They're J.D. Power Award winners. They have all of that on their website. They're the best, and they can prove it. Their engineering and innovation is present in every component of the Acclaim Windows, providing Acclaim Windows with beauty, durability, and performance. Whether you need windows, patio doors, entry doors, Renewal by Anderson is the best, and they have the best service. And they are, you know what? They're almost the official window of Minnesota, aren't they?
Let's go.
And if they're not, they should be. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic or call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931.
Hey, thanks, Larry Darrell and Darrell.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
You played this one already.
Sometimes you get distracted.
I know, because now we go into the reggae bit.
Oh, that's perfect. The second time is the charm. And hopefully you've been to Bachman's before. Well, the next time you go there, it is going to be charming, especially for Mother's Day. For Mother's Day, it's all about showing appreciation for that wonderful woman in your life. Away. That speaks volumes.
She ain't my mother.
Whether you're hitting the fishing opener or you're having a day packed with activities, Bachman's, they've got your back with hassle-free gift options, so you're not worried. You can impress her. Make it a team effort. Get the kids involved. It's a fun project for mom. She's going to love it. Whether it's planting a new flower bed or setting up a backyard oasis, make it a family affair that she will remember. She needs your help. And kids, help out your mom on Mother's Day. Go to Bachman's. Get something nice for her. It's effortless gifting. They got gift cards if you want to be flexible. But you know what? You are going to find something in the store. You can go online for in-store pickup or for convenient delivery just in time for Mother's Day. There's 7 locations. Go to Bachman's.com. And within Lunds and Byerly's, they're right there. Minneapolis, Apple Valley, Eden Prairie, Fridley, Maplewood, Plymouth, Cedar, Acres, Lakeville. You have no excuse not to go to Bachman's to get you off of whatever, I don't know, trouble you're in. She got something in your back pocket like she does for me. You want to get it out of the back pocket with a wonderful gift from Bachman's. Grow fresh flowers, veggies in the garden, hanging baskets, 20% off shrub and hybrid roses.
God in heaven.
And 20% off raised garden beds, bird baths, jewelry, and apparel. That's all waiting for you. Even though she ain't your mother, you can make her happy at Bachman's.
Is that the flowers you posted?
You know, you're coming off like Soupy Sales. Hey, kids.
Steal
the car and go to Bachman's.
Is that the flowers you posted were from Bachman's?
No, those are from my backyard, but you can get tulips like that at Bachman's.
I like how you drive it into a corner and then somehow manage to reverse it and get out of that corner.
You can hear the squealing.
Yes. And the power steering just crying out in pain.
I love it.
I have a sad note.
Oh.
But one that should not surprise us, given the situations we face.
Magnitude of the situations.
Exactly.
Pedestrianizing.
Beginning Feb 8, 2025, less than a year from now.
Okay.
On the 115th anniversary of the Boy Scouts.
Oh.
They will no longer be called the Boy Scouts. Officials say the name change aims to make everyone feel welcome, while the move is also being seen as an attempt to move on from bankruptcy following a flood of sexual abuse claims. Last year, BSA agreed to pay $2.46 billion to settle claims by 82,000 former Boy Scouts. You know, seriously, at that point, I would have just said, we're no longer.
We'll see you later.
We're done. There's no more Boy Scouts. Instead, they're not only going to be the Boy Scouts, they won't be the Boy Scouts. They'll be the Scouts of America.
Got it.
So
it's just another page. Well, another layer ripped away from the onion.
Any of you guys Boy Scouts as kids?
I sure was.
I was.
How far up the ladder did you make
it? I was 3 years into Boy Scouts until I discovered girls.
I made it to Star Scout. I toyed with, you know, going all the way, but I think my dad was an Eagle Scout and his brother was an Eagle Scout. I had no shot at that.
If you were in the troop I was in, if you were an Eagle Scout, that was an invitation to get the S beat out of you.
That's not what I was.
Doorknobs and socks.
I don't
get thrown downstairs. That sort of thing.
Yeah. I wasn't an official scout, but I never left a camping trip.
What is wrong with you?
You know what? You weren't there for the camping.
I was
managed
to sneak out on the, you know, I knew where they were going.
Isn't that where you got the mother of a friend of Matthew's? Yeah, he went with Cub leader Jake.
Oh, no, that was the chess club.
You know what?
Hey, how are
you? There's a big scout.
I'd love to help you, but he's with Randy over there in the locked room in the dark.
Jesus.
What? Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to do this scout story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, anyway.
We're doing away with it.
All the hell with it.
I mean.
I give up. I mean.
Where are we going? Where do you stop?
I mean.
I know. I mean.
Help you choke on that ice.
Oh,
did you ever go to the scout camp up by Emmaville, Park Rapids?
Never got that far. We had a scout camp right here on the St. Croix.
I did bring this up with Mike yesterday on the highly rated weekly scramble.
Yeah.
I did get a really cool email about this, though. So I didn't know you were going to bring it up today because Mike made the point of they needed something because they were losing money and losing members years and years and years and years in a row. And Paul said this. The announcement of BSA changing its name isn't about gender identity. At least I don't think it is. I was a volunteer for the BSA for 20 years or so. I was a scoutmaster before I had kids, then a den leader, so on and so on. More than 5 years ago, the BSA gave up on trying to merge or partner with the Girl Scouts. It just wasn't happening. And they started Cub Packs and Troops for Girls. The scenario was envisioned to be two troops working as one. So in any event, it's a long email. But he said this is going to be a good thing for the scouting community. Yeah,
sure. Can I ask you a question?
Hi, Joe.
Did the Girl Scouts have to change their name?
I don't believe so.
Oh, huh.
The Sis Scouts.
As much as we rip and have fun with them, the Boy Scouts.
Who's ripped them? I've never ripped them.
Well, I mean, we joke around with
them. No, I'm not joking around.
They're as GL as can get. How do you start a fire? How do you tie a knot?
It used to be a hell of a country, but then you had 82,000 kids who were violated, apparently, by these idiots. So,
well, I didn't get in line for that. How do you steal liquor from mom and dad's liquor cabinet before a camping trip? That was one of the merit badges.
Yep. Yep.
How to roll a joint with one hand. I did that merit badge.
Yeah.
Yeah. How to take a shower in a gas station bathroom, a whore bath. That was the whore bath merit badge. I took that one.
I'd like to see your badges. You wear them in a sash?
Yeah, I had the sash. There were about three of them. As you can probably guess, I was an underachiever in Boy Scouts.
And Rookie, the it's much more than camping.
That's all I was here for.
I know.
It's also kissing, too.
I should get all worked up and have a tirade and just, but I give up. You can't have anything anymore.
It's just. You know?
My son was a Cub Scout, and when he lost the Pinewood Derby, he was so angry and so dejected that he just quit right on the spot. And that's how I knew he truly was my son.
Yeah.
That a boy.
Just gave up.
I agree, kiddo. Quit. These guys are a bunch of bastards.
I remember making that Pinewood Derby car.
Yeah.
How'd she run?
I don't think we won.
Gabe was a scout for a couple of years.
Have you seen, look it up real quick. What do you got for Friday's temp? What do you got for coming up this Friday?
I looked this morning.
You know what? That's going to be close enough. I'm not going to do this in June, for God's sakes.
I thought we have rules in GL.
No, the hell with
it. Mine says 70.
We're going to. It could be your precision garage door opener. It could be Friday. Make sure your garage door is ready. Get a hold of Precision Garage Door Service. Book online at Precision Door MN or call 612-263-6985 and see if Friday. If it's the opener.
The Weather Channel says 72.
That we're going. This Friday's got opener written all over it.
Festive.
Do you know there are a number of ways now that the MnDOT is encouraging participation in bike to school day? We used to do this just naturally.
Yeah, the Department of Transportation shouldn't have to.
It's now a formal situation. Mm. And there are a number of ways that families and students can partake in the event. Are you ready?
Yep.
Well, you can bike or walk to school directly from your home.
That's allowed.
See, that would not have occurred to me.
Okay. You know?
Wow.
You can join a walking school bus.
What?
Well, that's what it's called. You know, you put that together a few blocks from school. Or have the parents drop the kids off a few blocks away so they can get the experience of biking to school.
There you go.
And as Jordy notes, that last method is the Pete Buttigieg method.
Yes, that's true.
You get driven into about three blocks away, and then get your bike out of the SUV.
Put your helmet on,
and pedal into school with your buddies and man, it's fun riding your bike to school.
Scam that one.
Forgot about that. Yeah. That's right.
Bike to school. But the main way you can do it is bike to school.
What? Yeah.
Well, the main tip they give you is for bike to school day, the main tip is you can bike or walk to school directly from home. Why would you say walk? That's not biking.
Right. Do you want to get sentimental?
No.
You know when this used to be a great country? When you'd see
it's getting
the
to be
school,
a long time ago.
When you would see the school bike rack, okay?
Yeah.
No locks.
Oh, yeah.
No locks on the bikes. Every kid could be trusted to take their own bike home.
I rode my motorcycle to school.
Pack of cigs rolled up in the sleeve.
Bicycles were for poor people.
Here's a note from Lloyd, who says, even sitting on the beach in Mexico with my NAC hardware shirt on, I can keep up with the podcast. Puerto Adventurous. What's that mean? Good adventure? Lloyd. Thanks, Lloyd. And what's this?
Wouldn't that be the city he was? Puerto? Okay.
Only Because is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. Mm-hmm. It's only because they come to us all. You know where we are? We're moving. Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Mm. The traveling Lymans are in Lincoln, Nebraska. They must be coming home.
They're doing my route.
They're doing a weird
route.
They're
doing this one up here, and they're swinging down.
Go around and about and swinging down.
Is that 70 or 80? That's 70, isn't it?
70, yes, because 70 goes through the Missouri area.
Only because they're coming to us all the way from Lincoln, Nebraska, from the traveling Lymans. It was on this day.
May 8th.
On this very day, in 1881, encouraged by Bishop John Ireland and sponsored by John Sweetman, visionary leader of the Irish American Colonization Company, a group of Irish farmers moved to Curry in Murray County. And my people have something to do with that.
Okay.
Because Curry is where I think the great grandfather was the postmaster.
Oh,
Sod Hut
in there, the whole deal.
Chris, we were wrong. It's 70. Lincoln is on 70. Oh. It goes 90, 70, 80 as you go south.
Okay.
On this very day.
Joe, today is May 8th.
In 1910, Governor Adolph O. Eberhardt declared Minnesota's first Mother's Day holiday.
Welcome.
1910.
Saying she ain't my mother.
On this day.
5-8.
Which surprises me. May 8. Ice in Duluth Harbor trapped 13 ships, confining 400 individuals aboard.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, they must have had a cold snap, huh?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
It's just cold.
And finally, on this day,
May 8th,
1968, sports related.
68.
You've never failed me.
Twins?
Yes.
Twins in 1968. This has to be something. Is it gimmick related? Is it gimmick related?
Nope.
Not all nine positions.
Nope.
That was later in the season.
Oh, my God.
68, May 8th. 1968.
Metropolitan Sports Center. What did we call it?
Met Stadium.
Metropolitan Stadium. The Twins lost 4-0. That's a tip.
Okay. Oh, no hitter.
Yep.
They were no hit by.
Yep.
Was it the Yankees?
Nope.
Dang it.
A's. But he went to the Yankees.
Catfish Hunter.
Oakland you're correct.
A's. Yes.
Pitching for the Oakland A's threw a no hitter against the Twins on this day.
And you know what's ironic about this? What? I read a story about this where he was kicked out of batting practice.
Who was?
Catfish Hunter, because it was the Twins' turn to use the batting cage, and he was so mad.
How mad was he?
He went on to throw a no-hitter against the local nine.
I would like to. I think I do this every year when you do this because they put it the same way. He actually threw a perfect game, not just a no-hitter.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it was only the, I don't know, sixth or seventh or eighth no-hitter, perfect game in the history of Major League Baseball at the time.
John, so, you've really let me down.
What did I do?
You didn't check my facts. Lincoln is on 80. I was wrong. Not 70.
What? Huh? Yeah. Oh, I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, that, I do. I need
see
new
you tomorrow.
Glasses.
Well, council members, see you tomorrow at the ball game.
Oh, I can't wait.
Wait a minute. Puerto means port or harbor. So they were at Adventure Port, apparently, is what they
Adventure Port.
Okay. Yeah,
so that emailer was.
That guy.
The emailer
sure.
was.
That guy, Joe, that fella.
Did you get it straight? Lincoln, I-80.
Yeah, okay. Great. Okay.
Hey, Lincoln's on I-80.
Goes so east really west, boring, boring swings drive down, too. Swings
right.
up. Yeah. Hey, if you haven't joined the town council, well, shame on you, because those that have are going to meet us at the ball game tomorrow for a little hooky with the GL crew. You should also do us a favor and subscribe to the Garage Logic YouTube channel, where you can join the thousands and thousands of GLers who have found us on YouTube. All you got to do, you just have to search for Garage Logic Podcast and subscribe for near daily content, sometimes multiple videos in a day. It also includes behind the scenes content, full segments and video shorts. That's Garage Logic Podcast that you could find on YouTube.
It goes 90, 80, 70, 40.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Those are your east-wests.
Joe with the counties, Kenny with the freeways.
Yep.
We got you covered.
Yep.
Let's do it.
Rook with
Becker
the Boy Scout jokes.
Becker, Bill, Trammy, Benton, Big Stone, Bloor, and Brown.